Folks, in our individualistic society, sometimes we forget that church is a family. Every believer is an adopted child by the kings of kings, by the givers of life, by the ultimate creator of the universe. And that means that every service that we celebrate here in Calderwood Baptist Church, like this evening service, is actually a family celebration, right? We come here to see our family. We come here to hear and worship our great Heavenly Father. And even when we have different role in this family, no one here should be valued more or lesser than the other, because we are equally and fully loved by our Heavenly Father, because Christ gave His life equally for everyone in this family. And we have to know that in a family, nothing is more important than the relationship between family members, right? And that's why all things that we do in this church, we do it so we have a much deeper relationship, first with our Heavenly Father, but then we also do all those things so the relationship between the believers will grow deeper and stronger. Because we know that the relationship between the children of God in this church is very important to our Heavenly Father. And I say this because today we will read the letter to Philemon. And this letter is so unique, this letter is so different, because it's not the letter from an apostle to a church like the other epistle letters. It's a family letter about a family matter. It's a letter from a brother to a brother about a brother. And I think the reason that this short letter is included in the Bible, because that how we relate to each other in this church family is a matter of great significance to God. So brothers and sisters, let's read the letter from Paul to Philemon. Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved fellow worker, to Apphia, our sister, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and the church in your house. Grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always when I remember you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and of the faith that you have towards the Lord Jesus and for all the saints. And I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. For I have derived much joy and comfort from your love, my brother, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you. Accordingly, though I am bold enough in Christ to command you to do what is required, yet for the love's sake, I prefer to appeal to you. I, Paul, an old man, and now a prisoner, also for Christ Jesus, I appeal to you for my child, Onesimus, whose father I became in my imprisonment. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he is indeed useful to you and to me. I'm sending him back to you, sending my very heart. I would have been glad to keep him with me in order that he might serve me on your behalf during my imprisonment for the gospel. But I preferred to do nothing without your consent in order that your goodness might not by compulsion, but of your own accord. For this perhaps is why he was parted from you for a while, that you might have him back forever, no longer as a bond servant, but more than a bond servant, as a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. So if you consider me as your partner, receive him as you would receive me. If he has wronged you at all or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, write this with my own hand. I will repay it, to say nothing of your owing me, even your own self. Yes, brother, I want some benefits from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. At the same time, prepare a guest room for me, for I am hoping that through your prayers, I will be graciously given to you. Epaphras, my fellow worker in Christ Jesus, send greetings to you, and so do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. This is the word of God. We all know that relationship is not rocket science, right? But we also know that relationships are sometimes more complex than a rocket science. Even humans are relational beings. There is no other earthly thing that gives us more frustration or more joy than a relationship. The reason why it's so complicated for human beings is because of our sinful nature and our brokenness. Sin breaks not only our relationship with God, but also our relationship with each other. And that's why relationship could be really messy sometimes. And we all know that, right? Even when we try our best to behave, we cannot avoid to hurt other persons or getting hurt from others. And that's why in relationship that we have, forgiveness is super important. Because only when we are able to forgive, we could have a deep and fulfilling relationship with each other. But on the other side, somehow forgiveness, it's not easy. To forgive someone who hurts us badly is jolly hard for us. Our pride is getting in the way, our self-centeredness is getting in the way, our bias and blindness to see things clearly are also getting in the way. But the good news is that we have the gospel and we have the Holy Spirit. And we know that the gospel has the power to change our hearts and our relationship. But how does the gospel-shaped relationship look like? And how could we live out the gospel in the relationship that we have? I think the letter to Philemon is a great revelation from God that he uses to shape us so we could have a deep and fulfilling relationship with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Paul writes this letter with a purpose. He wants that the broken relationship between two brothers in Christ would be fully restored. Paul wishes and prays that Philemon and Onesimus would love and serve each other again. In order to do so, Paul writes three main points in this letter. So first, he is exhorting Philemon. And second, he is reminding Philemon. And the third of all, he is pleading to Philemon. So let's go to our first point. Paul is exhorting Philemon. In every letter that Paul wrote, he never ever forgets to exhort his brothers and sisters in Christ, right? He always starts with it. He always gives thanks and praise God for them. And somehow such exhortation is the most important thing for Paul to write in his letter. And Paul did those things because he knows that as a follower of Christ, to live in this hostile world is already hard and exhausting. Our spirit needs a constant spiritual refreshment and comfort in order to endure in faithfulness to God. And we get strength from such godly exhortation and encouragement, like what Paul did to Philemon. Paul, let's explore first the relationship between Paul and Philemon. So Philemon is a wealthy Roman citizen who lives in the Colossae. Paul probably met him during his mission in Ephesus, and there he became a follower of Jesus. And as Epaphras, co-worker from Paul, wants to plant a church in Colossae, we know that from verse 2 that Philemon opened his house for the church family. So they could meet to worship God and pray and encourage each other in Philemon's house. And folks, notice the first and the second verse. Normally, in the beginning of his letters, Paul always mentioned his apostleship, I, Paul, the apostle, in order to point out his God-given authority to correct the church or to teach or to encourage them. But notice this time, he doesn't do it. Furthermore, if we read verse 2, we see how Paul gently greets Philemon's wife and son in a really personal way. And this shows us that this letter is not an official church letter, but a brotherly letter. Paul doesn't exercise his rightly God-given authority, but he's asking something to Philemon as a brother and as a close friend. But before he pleads to Philemon, he exhorts Philemon. It's important to notice that he is not doing some smooth, persuasive lip service in order to ask a favor from his friend. But Paul exhorts and encourages Philemon with a prayer so he could grow in Christ. Yes, it's a prayer. The godly exhortation and encouragement from Paul to Philemon is a prayer, not a hollow and fictional compliment. It's a prayer of thanksgiving about Philemon because he is a big blessing for many believers, because he lives out his faith and his identity in Christ. Look at verse 5. I hear about your amazing love and faith for the Lord Jesus and the saints. Verse 6, Philemon shares his faith to the church and also to the non-believers. And notice, folks, the word sharing here is the Greek word koinonia, and it means partnership or mutual participation. And IV translates verse 6 as, I pray that your partnership with us in the faith may be effective in deepening your understanding of every good thing we share for the sake of Christ. And then verse 7, because of you, the heart of the saints are refreshed. We don't know exactly what kind of refreshment and encouragement that Philemon gave to other believers. But what we know is that Paul's imprisonment is somewhere on early 60s AD, and there was a big earthquake in that time in Colossae. And maybe Philemon did use his wealth sacrificially to help many believers in need. But what we really know from these three verses is that Philemon is so well known for his loving action, for his commitment to the church, his boldness to proclaim the gospel, and his sacrificial lifestyle. And notice, folks, Paul didn't just give Philemon a compliment. He brings his thankfulness and joy about Philemon to the Lord in prayer. Paul praises God for Philemon, and such thing is a proper godly exhortation. You know why? Because if you only give a compliment to the people for their service, you leave room for pride in their heart. And we all know that pride is a jolly, dangerous, and destructive thing in relationship, right? But if you pray for this person in thankfulness and joy, and you let this person know about your prayer for him or for her, then first, it glorifies God, not human. That's why pride doesn't have any room. And second, it makes a supernatural three-way conversation, right, between you, this person, and God. And such exhortation will bring fruits, and it will deepen our relationship with each other and also with God. And honestly, guys, if someone comes to me and graciously give me compliments for my sermons, for example, or for something else, I don't really know how to react. It's kind of weird for me because I know that it's not me but the Holy Spirit who blesses them. If it's just me, I will just talk rubbish. But if somebody comes to me and says, Rio, I'm so thankful to God because of you, and I will pray that God will build you up and equip you so you could preach the gospel and build God's kingdom in Germany, I will be extremely happy. I will be extremely thankful to those people. And Calderwood Baptist Church, you have many committed and sacrificial people among you who do many different kinds of service in God's family. Teresa and I are so impressed by you, by your willingness and commitment to serve. And that's why we have to refresh the heart of one another, right, with a prayer and thanksgiving to God for each other and let these people know about it. So let's exhort each other like Paul did, for the people like in the worship team or like in the preaching team, or for the people who faithfully make tea and coffee for us every Sunday, or the people who do the gardening for the church or to work in Hunter House, and many, many more. that God builds up his faithful and sacrificial servants and equips and empower them so they have a bigger gospel impact in this church family. And they have a much bigger joy to serve God and others. Exhorting each other with prayers is so essential for a healthy and strong church family because it greatly blesses our relationship in this church family. And now, let's go to second point. Paul is reminding Philemon. After he's exhorting Philemon, Paul is reminding Philemon about their common identity in Christ Jesus. First, as God's family member, look at verse 3, they receive an undeserved grace and peace from God. And that's why now they have the same Father, the same Lord, and the same God. And secondly, Paul reminds Philemon about the cost of being in God's family. Paul mentioned it 4 times in this short letter that he is a prisoner for Christ Jesus. Verse 1, Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus. Verse 9, I, Paul, an old man, and now a prisoner also for Christ Jesus. Verse 10, in my imprisonment. Verse 13, during my imprisonment for the gospel. Somehow, he wants to make a point, right? It's like that Paul is banging his chains on Philemon's ear. Why does he write that? I assume that Paul wants to remind Philemon that trusting in Jesus has a consequence. Paul lost his freedom because he preached the gospel, but Paul didn't complain about it. Paul knows that his freedom is good. He enjoys freedom. Paul wishes also that Philemon will have freedom, but freedom is not a necessity to fulfill his God-given purpose. Paul understands that in this hostile and broken world, it's normal to sacrifice something that's really important for us in order to serve God and his beloved family. Paul really wants to remind Philemon that putting the gospel into practice is really costly. But as the children of God, we have to make life decisions that aligns with the gospel in our everyday life. So Philemon has to be reminded about these 2 things. But his family identity in Christ, and then that as a member of this family, there will be a costly sacrifices. Philemon has to remember these things because these 2 things will have a great influence on how he will treat the returning Onesimus. Now we should go to our 3rd point. Paul is pleading to Philemon. This section is the main purpose of this letter. We have to understand, folks, that Paul is not just asking some favor from Philemon. Paul says in verse 8 that actually for a matter this big, normally he uses his God-given authority as apostle. But no, he pleads boldly as a brother in Christ for his other brother, Onesimus. The question is, what did Onesimus do to Philemon? In this letter, we read that Onesimus is a bond servant or a slave from Philemon. Folks, I know that many of you probably ask in your head, does the Bible support slavery? Or why did Paul write something to support slavery rather than to stop it? I want you to know first that when the Bible speaks about slavery, it's a different kind of idea of slavery that we have in our modern world. We have to know that in Paul's time, in this Greco-Roman world, slaves have rights. And people are not born as slaves. Most of the slaves are war prisoners or criminals. Either you will be killed or you choose to be slave to serve. Or some slaves sell themselves because they don't have anything to eat. So if you don't sell yourself as a slave, you or your family will starve and die. And the Bible speaks a lot about slavery and human oppression, but this letter is not one of them. But notice, folks, we see here that Paul pleads to Philemon that he should take back Onesimus, not as a bondservant, not as a slave, but as a brother. From verse 11, we know that Onesimus was not a good servant for Philemon. He was the very opposite of being useful. Beyond that, in verse 18, we also know that he wronged Philemon somehow. We don't know exactly what Onesimus did, and we don't know exactly what Paul means. But there is a big possibility that Onesimus stole something from Philemon. But it's clear that the trust between these two persons has been broken. And beyond that, Onesimus ran away from his master. He went to Rome, and it seems that the life outside from slavery as a fugitive is a dreadful life. It's so far away from what Onesimus has imagined. And one time, something happened to Onesimus in Rome. Maybe starvation or maybe suffering, there are many possibilities. But in the end, somehow Paul meets Onesimus in prison. And somehow, after a while, Onesimus becomes a believer. Not only that, as he grew in Christ, he spent so much time and effort in trying to help Paul in his imprisonment. Onesimus became really useful to Paul. Paul's love for him grew deeper and deeper. And verse 10 says that he is like a son for Paul. But Paul also knows that about Onesimus' fugitive status and also about his broken relationship and his wrongdoing to Philemon, his other brother. Paul knows exactly that this conflict has to put right for the sake of the gospel. Although Onesimus is so helpful for Paul in his imprisonment, he sends him back to Colossae, to Philemon, so they could be reconciled. Verse 12 says, sending Onesimus is like sending his own heart. So after Paul tells Philemon about Onesimus' repentance, he appeals to Philemon not only to forgive Onesimus, but to welcome him like he would welcome Paul. It's a really bold appeal from Paul, right? Not only Paul appeals to Philemon to forgive his new brother, Onesimus, but also to trust, to respect, and to treat him like Paul. And notice verse 9, yet for love's sake, I appeal to you. Folks, the love that Paul mentioned here is not some cutie love, a romantic and steady changing love like we understand love in our modern days. Our generation even reduces this strong word of love so much and uses it to describe something that is more than acceptable. Normally we say, oh yeah, I love it. But as Christian, we know that what love that Paul is talking about here. Because first of all, love has been shown to us. Paul writes that in Colossians letter, in chapter 1, doesn't he? We were so hostile towards God. We preferred darkness, and our minds were full of evil and wickedness. But God shows his love towards us by sending his beloved son to carry our judgment on the cross. And by his death, we could be reconciled with God. And if we look on the cross, we look on this perfect love of Jesus for us. And if we put our faith on the cross, then that love will make us holy, perfect, and blameless before God. And if we know this love, Colossians chapter 3 talks about that as a new and chosen people of God, we have to put this love on us. And to put Christ's love on us means, Colossians chapter 3 says that by showing other people a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. And beyond that, we have to bear one another. We have to forgive one another. And like the Lord Jesus forgives our terrible sin and wickedness, and for this love's sake, Paul appeals to Philemon to free Onesimus from the yoke of guilt, from the yoke of shame, from the yoke of slavery. Paul says in verse 16, not only to forgive him, but you have to welcome him, not as bondservant, but as your brother. And for the full reconciliation of two brothers in Christ, Paul is even ready to pay for every loss that Philemon suffers from Onesimus. Why does Paul do that? It's not because he owes Onesimus so much, but he did this because of the undeserved forgiveness and love that he received, not only from Lord Jesus, but also from many other believers to him. You know Paul's story, don't you? Before Paul became a believer, he was a terrorist, right? He brought terror to a new church family. He brought a great persecution and suffering to a new believers. But after he became a believer, many brothers and sisters didn't trust Paul very much. And even perhaps many from the church family couldn't forgive Paul for what he has done before. But Barnabas, a brother in Christ, took him and did everything in his power so that Paul would be reconciled with the other believers. Folks, as a believer, we are not only called to forgive others, but we are also called to actively help our brothers and sisters so they could be reconciled with each other, even when it could be very costly for us. If we see an unresolved conflict between our church family members, we should not stay silent. We have to carefully and prayerfully help them so they could be reconciled. Like Paul writes, for the love's sake. Because this perfect love of Christ saves us from the kingdom of the darkness and brings us into his wonderful family. And we have an important part to nurture and to deepen the relationship between our heavenly family member. Folks, the hostile world out there, they could never forgive if they get wrong. They will revenge evil with evil because the sinful human nature, like self-centeredness, pride, and entitlement, is so hostile against relationship. Those things destroy relationship. But we are not those things anymore, aren't we? The perfect love of God is shown to us. The perfect love of God lives in us and transforms us into a new humanity. And that's why, brothers and sisters, Philemon are able to forgive Onesimus. And that's why also that we are able to forgive. Because on the cross, as Jesus suffers for our sin, he's pleading to God for us, not only to forgive our sin, but also to take us into his wonderful family. How much more should we forgive others who wrong us greatly? If someone hurts us with their words or with their action, think the pain that Jesus had on the cross because of us. Forgiveness is never easy, folks. Forgiveness is painful. But without forgiveness, there won't be any deep and meaningful relationship at all. A gospel-shaped relationship is marked with forgiveness and generosity. And that's why if we live out our new identity as a family of Christ, the result of this gospel-shaped relationship is peacefulness and graciousness. Isn't it wonderful, folks? The sacrifice of Jesus brings reconciliation, first and foremost, between God and us, but then reconciliation between brothers and sisters in Christ. If you believe that the Bible is the true Word of God, then you have to see that in this letter, it's not just Paul who pleads Philemon to forgive, but also God who pleads to you to forgive other who deeply hurt and greatly wrong you. If you do not forgive your brothers and sisters, you put a heavy yoke of guilt and shame to them. How could you do that to the people that have been redeemed by Christ? Listen, folks, our God is a God of reconciliation. How big is his joy if he sees his children loving and forgiving each other? And how beautiful is that if our church family is a generous and as easy to forgive? Last thing, folks, in verse 17, Paul challenged Philemon to receive Onesimus like he receives Paul. In other words, Philemon should not treat Onesimus differently than Paul. They should be treated the same. Now, let's think of one of the worst believers ever that we have ever known in our life, Maybe someone who hurts us deeply, or some brother or sisters in Christ whom you don't like at all, or it's hard for you to be around them. And now think about another person, your favorite or your most respected Christian, someone you really love or adore, maybe some Christian artist or a famous pastor or famous author, or maybe just a really nice person that you know. Now, will you receive the worst Christian person and welcome them like you would welcome this respected person? It's a really big challenge for me as I read that. And I think God challenged us together to treat and welcome all of our brothers and sisters like we would welcome the most honorable person that we know. And by doing that, we express our love to our Heavenly Father, because we honor, love, and welcome His beloved children properly. Okay, folks, let's praise God for this wonderful church family that always supports and comforts us. And let's forgive and love others like we have been forgiven and loved by Lord Jesus Christ. And by doing all this, we will have a deep and meaningful relationship with God and with our beloved brothers and sisters. And through it, I'm sure that our Heavenly Father will be glorified. Let's close this sermon by thanksgiving to our Heavenly Father for His gracious love for us. And only through love and forgiveness that He has shown us, we could love and forgive others. Only through the perfect love of Christ, we could have a deep and meaningful relationship with each other. Let's pray. Thank you, God, that you are the first initiator of salvation. Thank you that you met the first step towards us, and you did everything for us so we could be reconciled with you. Thank you, God, that you give us a brothers and sisters in Jesus that we could support and we could comfort each other. And we know, Jesus, that relationship is not easy. And to forgive another people, it's really far away from easy. But we want to fix our eyes on you, on your grace, on your amazing love and sacrifice on the cross for us. We pray that you help us to forgive others. And we pray that you help us to treat each other with love and kindness and respect. We pray that the world outside could see this church family and see that you are the source of love and you are the source of forgiveness, so many people could be reconciled with you, Jesus. In your beautiful name we pray. Hallelujah. Amen.